Welcome, welcome, welcome everyone to CITR 101.9. You're listening to Wise Men Radio here. I'm your host, Austin. We're coming to you live from unceded Musqueam Coast Salish territory. Yes, Wise Men Radio. It is 3 past the hour, 9:03, here on a dim Friday morning. But yeah, thanks for starting your day off right. We got a kind of a experimental show for you tonight, or today, this morning, the opposite of tonight. I am going to be playing a couple interviews I had last night at the bars. Last night was a graduation fundraiser at the Copper Tank, a bar near campus over here, and basically I just kind of went around and asked people some silly questions. We're gonna see how they kind of turned out. Maybe some of them might be like a little too loud or whatnot, but it's gonna be a bit of a plan around episode, I guess. Yeah, but anyways, I'm gonna start it off with playing a couple songs here. This song is by one of my favorite bands, The Puritan, or not the, This Will Destroy You. The song is called The Puritan off, it's a new single. I'm gonna be playing the Juliana Barwick remix. Juliana Barwick is a cool, kind of, and also a pretty ambient artist. Both these guys are create some cool stuff, so give them a listen to. I'll be back in like 15 minutes or so. Anyways, enjoy The Puritan. Thank you.
to see if you can hold to your thoughts and then pretend I am your friend. Hold on to me. Every single day is a fight to win. All your victories won't even stand right by your sins. Hold on to me. Feed me to this boy and tell him your name. Hold on to your thoughts and then pretend and then pretend. Hold on to me. And let the morning kill the mood.
Boost your resume by studying abroad and get that dream job. Don't miss the Graduate School Fair at the Nest, UBC, on Wednesday, March 1st. Or the Study and Go Abroad Fair on Thursday, March 2nd at the Vancouver Convention Center. Admission is free. Come early to catch our feature seminar on scholarships. For more info, visit our website at www.studyandgoabroad.com.
Ocean, border, sub, urban, dispersal, determinacy, mulatto, mestizo, Métis, Cabra, Eurasian, Creole, colored, colored, split. Those who have no history are doomed.
An excerpt from The Reinventing Wheel, spoken by author, Vancouver poet, Wade Compton. Celebrate Black History Month with CITR 101.9 FM as we host content exploring Black history in Vancouver and beyond. Tune in this February and check out CITR.ca for regular updates on the scheduling of our Black History Month programming.
Welcome back, everyone, to CITR 101.9. You're listening to Wise Men Radio, and I'm your host, Austin. We just played a few songs. That last tune that you heard was by the artist Tangle With Care. The song was Wine off her new album, Bottles. Tangle With Care is from Montreal. Very cool. Bottles is her debut album. So check it out. Yeah, some good stuff on this piece here. And the song I played before that by a pretty wacky artist, Jen Jammin' Crossface. The song is Keys, Keys, Keys. Off the album, like slash, slash, a bunch of slashes, then snow. Pretty cool, groovy, groovy, groove. And of course, the first song by This Will Destroy You. The song was The Puritan, the Julianna Barnwick remix, and that's off the new kind of single EP, The Puritan. So yeah, very cool songs, more songs to come, but today I am going to try to do this. I kind of had this like sudden like eureka moment last night that like your phones can record audio and I can just totally play that back while I'm doing my show, and I figured why not record some of my friends, like just ask them about a question and record them their answers. So yeah, I got some wacky interviews last night. I was at the Copper Tank. It was our forestry fundraiser for our grad this year. So we'll see if they kind of turn out, if they kind of translate on air. But, you know, that's what I'm here to do, is just to try out, explore new boundaries, man. But anyways, I'm going to start it off with an interview by actually an ex-host of this show, Daniel Malvin. Daniel Malvin, he's used to do this show with me, but dropped out after the first year, so now it's just me. But yeah, this is an interview with Daniel Malvin about photography. These interviews range all over the place about things and topics. So this is Daniel Malvin Photography. All right, I'm here with Daniel Malvin at the Copper Tank here. Describe the perfect photo. Daniel Malvin's very into photography here, so I want him to just describe to me the perfect photo, or at least the best photo he's ever taken.
Is the perfect photo supposed to be one I haven't taken?
It's supposed to be just like this. Here, like, what would make a photo the perfect photo to you?
Okay, I really like black and white, because it really accentuates the different like tones in shading and contrast of an image. So maybe I don't know what makes the perfect photo. I haven't taken it yet, and I haven't seen the perfect photo yet. I feel like it's kind of maybe a visceral thing that you feel when you see a photo, where you think, man, this is just the perfect photo. And maybe it doesn't have any of the things that you like in a photograph, but maybe it's just the way that it makes you feel. I think that's more important than the image itself. So I guess I started thinking about it as like the technical things that make an image really good. But when I really think about it, the perfect photo is the photo that like makes you like feel a very strong emotion in some direction, I suppose.
Yeah, that's a pretty good analysis of what a perfect photo is.
Deep dive.
Yeah. What is the best photo you have ever taken?
The first one they hold.
I don't know.
What is your favorite? You have a favorite?
I have a lot of photos I like. But generally the photos that I really like are the ones that remind me of good times that I've had. You know, I don't think they're necessarily the ones that other people would like the most. They're not necessarily my best photographs, but they're the ones that I like looking at the most because it brings back memories of like great times, you know, and like, man, like I remember taking this photo or like what ensued after this photo was hilarious or a great time or whatever, you know, like that's maybe my favorite part about taking photographs. Like in our house, we have this wall full of photographs. They're like mostly taken on disposable cameras, but they were taking it like just the most fun moments, you know, and those are the most fun photos to look at. Those are my favorite photos, not the ones that have like perfect lighting or like great contrast or anything.
Yeah, fair. Yeah, good. Yeah, that's good stuff, man.
Those are the best photos.
Yeah, I agree all wholeheartedly with that statement. Thanks so much for Daniel Malvin for being on the show. We look forward to your next appearance here at Wise Men Radio.
Woo! All right, so that was Daniel Malvin here speaking to us about the perfect photograph and what constitutes and makes up a good photograph. And I agree a lot what he has to say about not necessarily the content in the image being what makes the photo a great photo. Like your favorite photo could totally be of something just like it could be a blurry, you know, wacky photo that most people wouldn't actually enjoy, but you know, if that photo means something to you, and like no one can take that away from you, man. So yeah, it's kind of a cool analysis of the perfect photo and your photography in general. The next little clip I'm gonna play is from a good friend Curtis Rock. Curtis Rock and his girlfriend Alexia, they're very chill people. So this is just I'm here to get the details on how he keeps his composure typically a very bustling day-to-day routine, really just trying to kind of scrape out some of these trade secrets to his Curtis Rock's chillness. But anyways, this is going to be an interview by of Curtis Rock and Alexia. But yeah, stay tuned.
All right, hello. I'm Austin, coming live from the Copper Tank here in Vancouver. I'm interviewing here Curtis Rock. Curtis Rock is an avid outdoorsman and member of the Faculty of Forestry here at UBC. Curtis, you are a very chill guy here in a very hectic campus. I'd like to know your secrets, if that is, to staying so chill on a very hectic campus.
Well, you know, UBC is a pretty hectic place. Happy to be in the Faculty of Forestry. I think the general, just all my friends, all the lovely people in forestry help keep me very, very chill. You know, it's just a good place to be. Great people. Just, you know, it's not hard being chill when you have good people around.
Oh, that's great. Do you have any advice for people that maybe are finding themselves stressed out here at UBC?
That's a really good question, Austin. You know, sometimes it's just really hard to get into that chill zone, but you kind of just gotta find it deep within you. Yeah. Like my colleague says, growing a beard sometimes helps make you more chill. Yeah. You know?
Amazing. Amazing. Do you have anything to add to that, Alexia?
I think that Curtis's beard is really what keeps his head cool. It's got actual, like, cooling and heating effects. And then when you look that chill, people think you're that chill. And it's like a cycle of being enabled by the people around you to be as a supportive and sensitive member of the community.
Yeah, do you think that, like, your beard, Curtis, hides some of your emotion? So basically hides some of your, like, stress for you?
That's a very good point, Austin. You know, sometimes I think the beard just puts on a certain persona that everyone always thinks you're having a great time, and it's kind of nice. Sometimes it does just bring up the morale, and it's, I don't know, I like it.
I would say the opposite. I think that Curtis's beard is actually this, like, wall. It's a wall. Quite frankly.
Oh.
He hides tears, anger, like, just pure rage right behind this beard.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a barrier for what his mouth wants to say, you know?
Okay, so you're saying south of the border here, the president is saying build these walls. So are you thinking that everyone should grow these beards to therefore build these emotional walls between us?
I think if we all had beards, we wouldn't need a concrete wall, you know? Because then you'd be, like, you know, more managed yourself.
Very true, yes. I agree. What do you have to say about that, Curtis?
No comment.
All right, I would like to thank Curtis and Alexia for coming on to the show today. It was a pleasure having both of you. I look forward to the next time we speak.
And that was Curtis and Alexia here. Last night at the Copper Tank. I'm noticing that in a lot of these recordings, I'm just yelling. I thought that, obviously, I thought that the recorder needed to be yelled into, but nevertheless, I guess it worked. But yeah, kind of a poking jabs at south of the border there. Yeah, I'm not going to really go too into that, because I feel like most of my other radio shows have been pretty politic-heavy. Keeping this show light here. But anyways. Now, yeah, the last clip I'm going to play before I go back to songs... I'm going to play a little clip by Anna Lerney. Anna Lerney is, really likes defining landscapes. And so I asked her about her favorite places in the world. And this is Anna Lerney at the Copper Tank.
Hello, I'm here with Anna Lerney at the Copper Tank here. Anna, I have a question. What is the most where and or what is the most beautiful place you've ever been?
Oh, Austin, that's a tricky question. I think you might be asking me this with the idea that I will respond with somewhere on the prairie. And you'd be right about that. The prairie is really a beautiful place. A lot of people think it's a vast wasteland, totally empty. When it was surveyed by Palliser in the early, I guess it was the late 1800s that Palliser came, he thought it was a wasteland beyond any repair. You couldn't grow anything there. It was useless. It should be abandoned. But the prairie is so much more. For thousands and thousands and thousands of years, it has been traversed by people and by animals and by plants, and there is not a single place on the prairie that isn't just totally beautiful. Milk River Natural Area is in the southeastern corner of Alberta, and it is kind of, it's the most arid area in Alberta. It's very, very dry, but it's so crazy. There's this canyon around Milk River, that is so big. It's so red and it's so wild. It's just this totally wild place. One time I saw a bobcat footprint there. It was the footprint of a bobcat.
A bobcat?
A bobcat in the sand of the like canyon of Milk River Natural Area. The only thing you can hear are mourning doves. That's the only sound you hear when you're in the Milk River Canyon. It's silent because it's so huge and so dry and so vast that there's really no sound, and there's really, it's amazing. Elk winter there. Sagebrush is over 6 feet tall. It's the craziest place in the world. It's beautiful.
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah,
it's amazing.
Yeah, I've actually had the privilege of going to Milk River myself, and I thought it was amazing as well.
What did you like most about it?
That's a good question. I think I liked, actually, one of my favorite parts about Milk River, I really like kind of the clay formations the soil made. But also really liked, as we were kind of scaling down these cliffs, we were actually scaling up, going back, I saw this hole in the side of the mountain, or the wall of soil. And
canyon.
The canyon, yeah. I saw this hole, and it looked so cool. Like, definitely a bobcat or something like that would have resided in there.
Yeah, bobcats love stuff like that. Bobcats are great on the prairie. They love canyons. They look for holes.
Yeah, yeah, and as do I. But, yeah. Well, I'd like to thank you, Anna, for being on the show. I look forward to the next time you're in here at the studio. Thanks, everyone.
All right, so that was Anna Larney talking about Milk River Natural Area in the prairie. Yeah, very cool place. I would really recommend going there. Yeah. Anyways, we're going to get back some tunes here. We're going to start back off with a tune by Slick Jimmy out of Montreal. And this is kind of like going back to the Curtis Rock interview, going about it's a little jabby with the wall situation in the States. It's pretty fun though. Give it a listen to Slick Jimmy. The song is called "Future Architects Falling Flat" off of his personal convenient demo tapes. Slick Jimmy, everyone.
That might be the best question I get today. That might be the... Thank you.
Just your loving fool. It will be this always, for as long as you will let me. Earth, I think's meant to stay the same. Just your loving fool.
Of some pigskin. This is my shimmering life prize. All I must do is create a diversion. What could distract people who love sports? Sports! 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 Sports!
Do you find sports distracting? Feel the need to chant sports for hours on end? Then come on by the CITR station at the new sub to get involved. We do play-by-play, color commentary, audio production, interviews, and so much more. Only on CITR 101.9 FM.
Tune into Post Rock Friday from 10 to 11 with your host John P for the best in post rock, drone, ambient, experimental, and noise.
Ketchup, mustard, hot sauce, do they die? Riley Finn.
Hot sauce. I do it because it'll be so hot the one time. Mustard. I die it because, you know, it's okay, but like, I don't know if I can do it all the time. Ketchup.
Mustard's kind of a greasy condiment.
Ketchup.
Like, you know, you get mustard stains and, like, the crust there.
Yeah, ketchup, like, it's there no matter what. Ketchup, I marry.
Marry.
Oh, you marry the ketchup.
Wait, what is it?
All right. Welcome back, everyone, to CITR 101.9. You're listening to Wise Men Radio. Broadcasting from unceded Musqueam territory. This is a fun show today. It's actually working out a little bit better than I thought it was. Definitely got a lot of things to learn about recording and interviewing. This is like still my first feeling it out. First time doing this. I've been just kind of playing some recordings of interviews I've taken of my friends throughout the night last night at Copper Tank for our forestry undergraduate grad committee fundraiser sort of thing. So lots of fun different conversations happening. So we played some songs. The last song that you heard was a song by Joust. It was off the Demos album, and the song was Patoculus. Very cool artist from Vancouver. So give her a shout. The song I played before that was Coconut Espion off of the album Signal Number 1. The song was, pardon my French, I don't know how to speak it, Euphorie Soudaine. obviously from Montreal, and that first tune that I played was Slick Jimmy, Future Architects Falling, off the Personal Inconvenient Demos tape. So yeah, we got more cool songs to play, but I also have a couple more interviews to play. This next interview is a bit nonsensical. It's a interview, well, it starts out a little bit rocky with with the answers here, but Will Kaufman touches on some important points with of water and kind of fish within them, but mostly it is more or less just a silly conversation. So yeah, give a listen to Will Kaufman's interview.
Hello,
here.
I'm here with Will Kaufman here at the Copper Tank. Will, what is your favorite thing about water?
Oh my gosh, it's hard to put the values of water into definitive words. I mean, water sustains life on every single level. So when it comes to my personal favorite thing about water, it's probably it probably comes down to two things. One, I like the fact that hydration's a big part of water coming through our bodies and keeping our brains functioning and healthy. Two, I like all the life that water supports. So for example, if I were to go fishing this weekend and I were to put, you know, a fly or a line in the water, I know that if there's water, there's fish. And if there's fish, it's going to be a good time, you know? Like,
it'll be fun because water is fish. And
is every body of water contain fish?
I would say more times than not, 90% of bodies of water contain fish.
90%? That's quite a bit.
And what about the Mount Pauli tailings pond?
Well, you know, Josh, you bring up an interesting point that I can't quite put a number on that because I haven't done my research.
Yeah, Mount Pauli tailings pond is kind of a really messed up situation that happened with a mine and the tailings leaked into the river.
It was really messed up. Yeah, I mean, I think that when it comes to resource extraction around water bodies, we really have to be careful. I mean, these are community watersheds. These are fragile ecosystems, and we really have to rethink about how our water is used when it comes to, I mean, especially when it comes to fracking. If we're depleting fresh water sources and then just putting them in big tailing ponds, like, think of just the environmental impact that has long term. And when it comes to dams, if you're damming flowing rivers, all those nutrients that are coming down from upstream and high in the waters, they get stopped. So we got to think about the long term and environmental impacts that these resource projects have on not only humans, but the entire ecosystems.
Amen to that, brother. All right, well, Will Kaufman, thanks for being on the show. It's always a pleasure. I'm sure we'll have you back on real soon. Anyways, back to you, Austin, in the studio.
All right, well, that was an interview with Will Kaufman last night at the Copper Tank. I think a lot what he said at the end of the interview was some good stuff about rethinking resource extraction around water bodies, because I do think water will be become more and more important. It is the most important resource here on Earth. It sustains all life, and you see what's happening in California with drought, not being able to produce food and also hydrate plenty of people. I think it's important, important consideration of like what we are actually doing to our water, and are we making situations worse in places like California? There's a lot of graphs actually out there that there's not graphs, but images of kind of a map of kind of areas that evapotranspiration exceeds precipitation, and it highlights those areas. And it's pretty much every place that's not the immediate coast is basically running on a negative water deficit, like most of the time, which is kind of interesting. And you see a lot of these population centers, like in Arizona, California, centered around these areas without water. You kind of wonder about the sustainability of that lifestyle. But yeah, anyways, I am running out of time, but I'm going to play a couple more songs for you guys. This next tune is going to be a tune by the artist She Bit Her Lip. The song is Uni off the VIIV album. It's a cool, cool song. But anyways, I hope everyone had a fun time this show. It was interesting to see how all these interviews worked. I wish I got to all of them. I only got to a few. But anyways, this is She Bit Her Lip. See you guys next Friday at 9 a.m., 9 to 10, Wiseman Radio. See you later. We'll be right back.